Welcome this morning. All right, so we're going to be finishing off our Waymaker series. And as I was thinking about it today, I was just like, wow, what a cool opportunity to finish this series. As I was thinking about it in preparation, I was like, what a neat opportunity to finish this series. And what a powerful series it has been. Amen. It has been such a neat reminder of the fact that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what God is doing right now, the potential chaos, especially like economic issues with all the kids having to stay home from school now, figuring out childcare and work. Oh, it's just, it could feel really overwhelming, but to come out of this series and know that God is good, He is faithful through all seasons. So what I want to talk about real quick is for anyone that's just joining us now, I'm going to give a quick recap on Joseph's life up to this point. So we're at the end of the story now, but we're going to just recap really quick on his life to this point. So Joseph, the son of Jacob, is Jacob's favorite. He has 11 brothers, and he has a dream that his brothers basically bow before him, and that they basically submit to him as they were like slaves to him or serving to him or in homage to him. And his brothers didn't care for that. So as a reaction, his brothers decide that they want to kill him. Instead of killing him, they end up selling him into slavery in Egypt. And then Joseph, once sold into slavery in Egypt, serves in Potiphar's house as his slave. He then ascends into like a head of household type position, at which point the Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him and then continues to try to seduce him. He doesn't give in and eventually runs from Potiphar's wife, and she accuses him of trying to seduce her. He's then put in jail. During his time in jail, he kind of ascends once again there into a position of authority in jail. He interprets dreams for the cupbearer and the baker. They then go, and he says, "Don't forget me." They go get out and go to Pharaoh, and they forget him, and he's stuck in jail for 2 more years. Then Pharaoh has a dream, and the cupbearer remembers Joseph and sends Pharaoh summons Joseph to interpret his dream. Joseph then interprets the dream, talking about 7 years of famine, and then 7 years of provision, and then 7 years of famine. And at that point, Pharaoh makes Joseph the overseer, essentially, of everything regarding the famine to come, really as a very important figurehead in Pharaoh's court. All right. So what I thought was neat as I was thinking about the preparations of this, and I was looking over the 7 years in preparation and thinking about the fact that we started this series 7 weeks ago, and here we are today. We have got all these, the provision from the 7 weeks. We've been told again and again about God's goodness and faithfulness. And here we are with a famine-like situation. And no matter your perspective on the virus itself, the impacts of this virus are going to be something that we haven't seen in a long time. And I'm not necessarily just talking about the disease, the economic impacts, certainly the impacts on our local community. And it poses an amazing opportunity for us to be like Joseph and provide for those around us. It gives us an opportunity. It gives us an opportunity to be like Joseph and provide for the people around us who are suffering economically. If God has blessed you with means, then this is a time that we can bless those that don't have means. It's a time where we can get together and try and find ways that in small groups and ways that are going to be honoring the requests of our state and our government, we can be blessing the community. And I think it's crucial that's where we are right now and that's what we're doing. So before I get into the meat of what I'm going to talk about today, which is submitting to God's sovereignty, I'd like to pray. So if you join me in prayer. God, you are so good. You're so faithful. And no matter what season of life this season in our country is putting us into, whether it's causing fear or panic or hesitation, God, that you would just be making a way, that you would be showing us how we, as your people, can be finding peace in your sovereignty. God, that you have a plan and it is good in this season. Lord, that you would just be creating an opportunity where we can serve not only your people, the body of Christ in our immediate community, God, but those around us, and that it would be so very evident that your love drives us, your grace and mercy sustains us, and that through that we can bless many. God, I thank you for this opportunity to bless others. I pray that you would bless this message, Lord, that the words that would come out of my mouth would be your words, not my words. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at the text for today. Jacob, Joseph and his brother's father has passed away. And we're looking at Genesis 50. At the start of the text, there's quite a bit of information about Joseph approaching Pharaoh and working to essentially get the burial rights so he can take his father from Egypt up and bury him in his home where he purchased land to be buried. But what we're going to look at today is after Jacob's death, the response from his brothers and the response from Joseph. So this is going to start in verse 15. You can open your Bibles or it's going to be right on the screen here. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sins, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father, Joseph." And then Joseph wept when they spoke to him. We're going to come back to this, but it's really important, I think, in this verse that we're looking at the fact that Joseph's brothers are, not only did they do terrible things, but they're very aware that they did terrible things. This wasn't a hiccup, an accident. They go, "Oh, well, he deserved it," you know. They're looking back at their lives and they're saying, "What we did was evil, and we don't deserve forgiveness." So they understand the transgressions that they had committed against their brother. Let's keep going. In 18, his brothers also came and fell down before him. This is fulfilling one of the dreams that Joseph had. They're falling down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, Am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly. So at this point, Joseph then said to them that despite these evil things that you've said, that you've done to me, heinous things really, God intended all these heinous things, like all the heinous things you did, God intended for good. And ultimately, good came out of it, the salvation of God's people. And that's kind of what I want to get into a bit today before we continue to go with the submission part, is that we've talked a lot about Joseph. And Joseph, in my mind, at one point in one of the sermons, Jim referred to Joseph as a superhero. And I think that that's a pretty valid statement. As I was looking through scripture and thinking about it, there's very few people that had that faith, integrity, and discipline to follow through and trust God in very challenging seasons, and also just have a life that seemed to be so committed to doing what God wanted. And the only examples I could really think of that kind of played to the line at the extent of what the information we have about Joseph would be Daniel and Job. So he's really this like iconic character, just has iconic character. And we've been talking about God making a way. And I think as you look at Joseph, it would be easy to go, well, I'm not Joseph. I have doubts every day. I make me decisions every day instead of God decisions. So what I think is neat about this verse, or these verses, is that God was making a way for Joseph's brothers. Like that, in my mind, is an amazing testimony that speaks salvation for all of us, because he's making a way for his brothers who have done atrocious things, and as we are looking at in 15, 16, 17, they know they did it. So these are people that were intending to kill their brother. They know how evil their thoughts and behaviors were, and God was making a way for them. In fact, Joseph was providing a way, a line of to save his brother Judah, so that the Lion of Judah would come from that tribe, and that, you know, the lineage of Jesus was being brought through some people that did very terrible things. So I want to just encourage you and say, you know, we have a spectrum, right? So up here we have for you guys, because it's mirrored, for you guys over here, it's we have Jesus, right, on the far side of the spectrum. And you can look at the way making that God provided to Joseph's brothers. That's down here. And then we have Joseph someplace in here, right? And on this spectrum, as far as faithfulness and integrity in decision making, we're in there, and God is making a way for us. And that is just so awesome. John Piper put this story, he summarized this story this way. He said, "The selling into slavery was the sending to save the slave sellers." I think that is so powerful. I'm going to read that again. "The selling into slavery was the sending to save the slave sellers." And as we think about that, as we meditate about what God was doing, making a way for his people, making a way for the tribe of Judah, and the other tribes of Israel, that it was he is certainly making a way for us. And there's no doubt. It's we've seen it again and again in the last 7 weeks as the other pastors have presented different aspects of this provision and what it looks like and how we can pursue it. That for me was an encouragement I wanted to give you guys, but I also wanted to lead into there are ways, and this is where we get into kind of, I know we're well into the message here, but there are ways that we can pursue a greater submission so that we can pursue being more like what Joseph was doing and ultimately more like Jesus. And that's through submission to God's goodness and faithfulness in our lives. Where was I going from here? Sorry, distraction. Yes. So as we pursue, being more like Joseph, being more like Jesus, I thought of a story from this fall. This fall, I was out on a run and I had been through, it'd been a couple years of it's, it felt like wave after wave of trial. And it was just one thing after another. And I felt like God was calling me into ministry. And I wanted to know what that looked like, but it was very challenging to see it while you're looking at wave after wave of interesting events, financial struggle, business struggles coming in. You know, it's life. So I was on a run and I was praying, God, what do you want me to do? What's my next move? Where do I need to go? And how do you want me to pursue this? And just so clearly and vividly, God said to me, Aaron, you're going to die. And I was like, wow, that's not the response I was expecting. That's not what I was looking for, God. But, I'm kind of looking around the corner for the next car coming. But I was like, well, God, if that's your will, then may it be so. But God, I just pray that you would take care of my daughter and my wife. And as I was saying that, you know, I was weeping. It was a lot to process for me. I talked to Jim about it shortly thereafter. And as we got into this series, and I'm still alive, I was just like, wow, this is interesting. You know, we're talking a lot about like God making a way and faithfulness and how we can be faithful to God and glorify God with our lives. And I, especially when I started prepping the sermon, I started thinking about that Aaron, you're gonna die part. And so as I was thinking about it, I just really got overwhelmed with this the concept of you need to die to yourself. And then if we look into the New Testament, there is verse after verse after verse, dozens and dozens of verses that reference dying to our to yourself, picking up your cross and following him. And I think that that's a real reflection of like what we need to do in order to pursue God's glory. It's like submitting ourselves, dying to what we want, and following him. And let's look at some. I've got a couple of those verses here for you. In Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In Mark 8:35, it says, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. And then in Luke 9:23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. As I was reflecting on this concept of denying yourself and picking up your cross daily, I had to start thinking about, and what I think I want to encourage all of you to think about, especially in this season, because it's easy. There's a couple times when I think it's really easy to forget that whole deny yourself concept. And there's tragedy, right? There's chaos, and then there's prosperity. So like, if you're doing really, really well, or if you're doing really, really poorly, a lot of times it's easy to be like, what am I going to do? You know, in one case, you're submitting to fear. And on the flip side, it's almost like you don't have that need. You don't feel that I need Jesus. But I assure you, in all circumstances, we need Jesus. So what I want to talk about is like, what are the things, or what I want you to think about, and maybe I'll pause here. Maybe I'll play a little bit of music. But what I would like you to think about is, what is it that you need to die to? A lot of us have consistent things that come up daily, whether it's worries or stressors, whether it's things that we obsess over, or aspirations that we prioritize in our daily lives. What are those things for you that might be holding you up or causing you to not be submitting yourself to God daily? It's a hard question, but the reality is, if we want to glorify God well, if we want to pursue being faithful like Joseph, like Jesus, if we want to provide well for those around us, if we want to love well, if we want to give to the community out of an abundance, then we have to be trusting God. So in that trust, we have to be submitting ourselves, dying to ourselves. We have to be that new creation that is promised. The old is passed away, the new is come because of Christ. But that's a choice, and it's a choice that we have to make every day, sometimes every moment. When I'm going through a day and something's really weighing heavy on my heart, a lot of times it's easy to think about, how can I fix this? How can I make this better? What can I do right so that this situation is fixed? And Jesus gets lost. And even if I've submitted myself to Jesus in the morning, I've lost it within 30 minutes. And I'm thinking about what I can do again. And I just want to encourage people that whenever you're getting into this train of thought, especially in this season where so many people are afraid, it's just so important that we are not afraid, because God is faithful. He is sovereign. He is providing for us. And if we submit to God and His faithfulness and His goodness, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be okay right now. Joseph suffered for 17 years. 17 years. I think about suffering and seasons of suffering. And I don't know how many years I would make it before I'm like, all right, enough's enough. But 17 years. When Abraham got the promise from God saying, I'm going to provide for your people. You're going to have a promised land, and it is going to be great. But hold on. First, there's going to be 400 years of persecution. Our submission to God, our trust in God, our faithfulness to God cannot be subject to circumstance. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you guys a minute to think about some of the things that maybe you can be submitting in your lives, in your daily lives. Think about ways that we can put this into a healthy practice. What do we need to die to in our daily lives? I also want to think about how we can now pursue Jesus, in this season. So just be praying, God, what do you have for me right now? Who are people that are suffering around me that are scared? And how can I support them and love them well? How can I provide your peace, an overwhelming peace that surpasses understanding? So I'll just give you guys a minute to do that, and then we'll come back. I've got a couple things I'd like to wrap up with, and then I would like to sing a blessing over you before we leave today. All right. Hopefully we're able to come up with some things. Lord, I just pray a blessing over everyone that's here today, anyone that listens to this message later. God, I thank you for your faithfulness. I know for myself, as I was getting all this ready, it was chaotic, and I wasn't sure how it was all going to come together. Lord, I thank you for your guidance. Father, I pray that the words that I said were meaningful, and that that our hearts can be prepared to be providing for our community, Lord, in this season. I'm going to read this last scripture. It says to out of Acts 14:22, strengthen the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And that's just, I think we see this concept of trials and tribulations throughout the New Testament, and that the fact that it's a reality. And based on this scripture, you could say an assured thing is that we're going to face trials and tribulations of many kinds, and that is going to be part of our path, part of our way. That's the way of Christ, and that's okay. This is, again, in this season, there's so much good that we can do for His glory.